We're going to do some a little sharing about some moments or some things that happened to us on the trip that were that touched us and helped guide our experience, I guess. But first, I wanted to I got a little note here too. If people would please fill out the lavender cards and place in the collection plates, guests and visitors, if they could. On the trip during the food stamp challenge, which was explained to you very well, we were in the Family Dollar, and there was a gentleman that overheard Katie and a couple of us speaking about trying to figure out how maybe we'd pool our money together and make a meal for four of us, or how we were going to do it. And he came up and offered his expertise, as he said that he was somebody that he was really good at this because he had done it for a long time. He had a lot of experience in how to do shopping on a budget that is hardly even called a budget, I think. But as he was explaining to us, he picked up a can of chili. Some name brand chili. And he said, oh, this would be really good, but I can't afford this today. And here we were playing this, you know, game to us. And it wasn't a game to him. And it was real life. And something as simple as a can of chili, he needed to find something cheaper to be able to have that night. And that blew me away and really put things into perspective. And at that point, the reality was it didn't matter what I ate that night. Looking in that man's eyes when he said that taught all the lessons I needed to learn about the night.
All right, so my experience didn't really guide my trip because it was at the very, very end, but it more of it changed how I kind of reflected on the trip. So as you heard, me and Oliver, instead of driving home with the rest of the group, went to the airport and went our separate ways. But I think what really shocked me was the difference between the airport and where we had been in the city. Because normally when you go to a different city, of course, you mostly just see the big, important, and flashy stuff. But where we had been the more what I guess is more of the real of the city, what's really there, not the shopping districts, but the poorer parts, you know, the parts that you don't see when you're vacationing, which we weren't. And then when we go to the airport, it's just all shiny, flashy, and I have to say the other, you know, where we had been wasn't. And it was just, you know, interesting to see that and be like, and realize, you know, this is what all cities are like. I mean, some more than others, but whenever I go somewhere vacationing, we don't see this. We just see what we want to see and, you know, what's fun. But there's a lot more. And it just really shocked me, that difference.
A moment that impacted me was when I went out to go help at the Multiple Sclerosis Center, the CADEP. And I met this really nice woman named Sherry, and she was in the adaptive sports program, which I was helping out with. And so I was helping her hit some golf balls, and we got to talking about her childhood, and she told me that she was a really good volleyball player. She was on the high school volleyball team, and she was the only freshman on the high school volleyball team, and they won championships and played statewide, but she couldn't do that anymore. And it really made me think, you don't really think about the things that you love to do and how lucky you are to do them. And it's made me cherish the things that I love to do. Yeah.
A moment that impacted me was at the Action Center, which Elliot talked about earlier. We were sorting clothes and then taking them out for the customers or the people who were there to find clothes for their families. We were taking them out to them. And I noticed that some of the people were not happy with the selection. And at first, I was sort of taken aback. I thought they would be grateful that there was things for them to find. But then I realized they were worried. They weren't upset. They were worried that they wouldn't be able to find what they needed for their families when this was all they had. And if they had a 10-month-old baby and all there was the stuff there was for a 6-year-old, they couldn't get what they needed. And that really stood out to me. And I'm also going to share from our friend Linnea, who was on the trip but was unable to be here tonight. She's traveling with her family. This is what she wrote. I liked the food stamp challenge because we actually got to experience how hard it is to try to make a healthy meal with food stamps. Hearing about the speaker, Chris Fleming's experience being homeless really made me realize that anyone can become homeless, even people who start from a middle-class family. I learned that the people who are poor or homeless are not that way because they are lazy or unmotivated, but because they are stuck in the cycle of poverty. I also learned that Denver is very supportive of homeless or low-income families. I have asked myself, what can I do in my own community? I can volunteer at soup kitchens, donate to nonprofit organizations that help the homeless, smile at homeless people, don't just ignore them. Giving them their humanity is important. I saw God in all the miracles that happened to Chris Fleming.
My favorite part of the trip was going to Bessie's Hope because I felt like the residents that lived there were really welcoming, and we were visitors in their lives. We were kind of intruders, I guess you could say, but they weren't, they didn't let us see that. They gave us all that we needed, and they weren't afraid to talk to us and tell us their stories. And I feel like that's where I saw hope.
There were many, many moments throughout the week, but at the St. Francis Soup Kitchen, which I talked about earlier, it was enjoyable serving the people. And a number of people came back to thank us, really taking a moment to tell us how much they appreciate not only the food, but what we were doing. And one man in particular was very well spoken, very polite, genteel, and made a particular effort to thank our part in serving the meal. And what I realized was there's not a lot of difference between him and me, other than I was on one side of the table and he was on the other. And that it was important for him to be able to thank us because that was a sign of dignity for him, that he was a guest at our table and needed to be able to thank us for that.
A moment among many moments that impacted me was during the simulation exercise at Denham, the Game of Life. During this activity, I felt transported to another reality. I felt stressed, I felt anxious. Each day, as it was flipped in the notebook, we started day one and then day two, and there were the different things you had to do. Day one, pay rent and such. Each time it flipped, I was not ready for it to flip. We were still figuring out how to get through day one, and I was teamed up with Elliot, and there was another youth group there that joined us for our family groups, and it became harder and harder to make decisions in the moment, let alone even think about future planning. But the days kept passing, and we were getting further behind, and we had to make decisions that none of us would want to make. You know, in our family, we needed our high school daughter to achieve in school, to not get in trouble. We couldn't afford a bus pass, so we needed her to walk from school to her job, and we wanted to not dip into her money, but we ended up wiping her earnings out as well. And those kind of stresses. And in our exercise, it was only a simulation for a month. But before we started the exercise, the presenter, Johanna, asked us, what is said about homeless people? And we made a little list. Lazy, unmotivated, unemployed, handouts, welfare mom. And at the end of the exercise, Johanna showed us that she had made notes of statements she heard us, she overheard us saying during the exercise, and she sprinkled the original list with things that we had said. So she sprinkled it with, "This could be the end of us. Hard to keep up. Left behind. Bad break. Unlucky. Overwhelmed. Stressed. We can't afford to get sick. Powerless. Stranded. And abandoned. I hear the words, 'Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God,' differently."
So I'll be also talking about St. Francis Center. While at the St. Francis Center where we help serve food, there are many different things that happened there. So a couple fights broke out, just little squabbles. One woman called myself and another stingy. But one man really stuck out in my mind. After first, everybody could come up as many times as they want. This one man in a black shirt, some faded jeans, he'd come up. He came up three times in about five minutes. So myself came up with the hypothesis of why he would come up this many times. So after third time, I followed him all the way back to the end of the room with my eyes, and I saw that he was dumping his food into a container. So he would put the food in a container, close it up, put it in a plastic bag, and then he started to look around the whole room, guessing, make sure no one was watching him, and he walked out. So at first I thought, oh, why is he doing this? I don't think he should be doing this. This is bad. This is wrong. But then later I realized these homeless people they're not as fortunate as some of us. And myself, every summer I'm traveling to another country. I mean, him doing this, he's probably taking his food to help feed his family or feed some other people. Like, these people he's trying to survive his everyday life, while someone like me, I'm going visiting other places. Watching him do this made me really reflect on my life today.
The thing that touched me the most was when we were on the walking tour and I saw the grave marker for the thousands of homeless people that die every year. And I believe the inscription on it was something about never being known, never having known that this person dies. Like, thousands of people go and die, but no one knows they've died. No one knows who they are. They just know they're, in a way, a faceless body that they find somewhere in the bushes, the side of the street, some alleyway, and it's just kind of sad to think that someone can die and no one know about it, and no one know this exact person who has a name and a family and a life doesn't, no one knows that he's dead, or she, no one knows that this person is no longer walking around. And also hearing about the fact that the most common age among homeless is 9, and that it's actually decreasing in age was a shocking thing to hear. That it's just kind of just sad.
My plan when I signed up for this was to help drive and sort of oversee what these kids were doing. But for me, I've learned a lot in my life, and I was going to keep this whole thing at arm's length. I knew, I'd read some books, you know. And each day we reflected on what we did that day, wrote it down and talked about it. And I had to, I was forced to face how a member of my family gets through the day, and how I viewed her and how other people viewed her. She's been homeless for 20 years.
One of the experiences that really impacted me wasn't just one moment. Over the course of the week, I definitely, I worked with the children a lot. I sort of looked back over the week and I really realized that even though these kids are in these situations and their families are in these situations, They can still laugh, they can still play, they love playing with us, they love being out in the sunlight and painting, and either on paper or on our faces, and just playing a game of tag, and just how happy that our presence could make them, and that they could that they were still able to be happy was just a really nice revelation for me.